I know this is healing school, healing class, but you know I'm that guy. I have these thoughts about different things. And I was thinking, I was like, all right, Lord, why are we going in this direction? Because I want to know. I mean, that's just the way I am with him. And read what he said to me. He said, there's no difference in the requirements for healing or prosperity. The principles are the same to receive, and the reasons are the same for not receiving. One must be bold enough to believe what I say and then act like he or she believes no matter what comes.
Amen.
And that was critical for me because you all know I talk a lot about fundamentals and principles, and they're the same. I don't care what it is. It's the same foundation for healing that there is for salvation. Same foundation, not a new one. It's the same one. So when you think of it in that term, in those terms, it becomes hard to try and understand why some people will have the faith to believe for finances, but not the faith to believe for healing. Okay. When it's the same thing. I mean, a bowl of soup, bowl of ice cream, use a spoon. I mean, that doesn't matter. You know, and we have to learn that the word is the word is the word is the word is the word, and the principles work. And if we get to the place where we understand that the principles work, we believe the principles work, we work the principles, and receive what the Bible says that we shall receive. If we don't believe that, we won't. It's really that simple. And I'm not against a healing class because I'm here. You know. But I feel that way about scriptures in general. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. And it goes on a list of things it's profitable for. So the Bible wasn't written so there would be, these are the prosperity scriptures, these are the healing scriptures, these are the family scriptures, these are the dating scriptures. The Bible wasn't written like that. The Bible is giving us principles for living. And you can apply those principles, since you can apply those principles to life, then the principles, the scriptures apply to every part of your life, period. Amen. Given and shall be given again unto you wasn't just for offerings. You know, it's a principle to let you know. And we have to start looking at the Bible. I believe we have to start looking at the Bible in those terms. It's for everything. And if I learn how to use it, you know, there are a lot of people that, I don't know about a lot, but, I know a lot of people. That's accurate. I know a lot of people who have no issues driving a small car. But you put them in a larger car, and they forget how to drive. And I tell them, the principles are the same. Accelerator, brake, steering wheel, you know, your hand-eye coordination, your depth perception, it's all the same. The only thing that's different is that you've never done it before. But just because you've never done it before, how many of you know you wouldn't be here right now if you didn't have a history of doing things you've never done before? You think about that. The reason you were able to get here is because you learned how to walk. At one point, you'd never done that before. But you found out that your legs will do more than just take you from one room to another. You don't need a different pair of legs to leave your house to go to the store. You know, it's the same legs. You learn how to use them, you use them. It's the same way with the Word of God. When you learn the principles and understand them and put them to use, they'll do everything they were designed to do, which is everything. Look at Mark 11, 23, please. Mark 11. I'm reading this, following what translation you have, but I'm reading it from the Johnson paraphrase. Jesus said, "Trust in God. Truly, anyone who speaks to the mountain yonder, saying, 'Dump yourself into the lake,' and listen to this, does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement." See, it's not say to the mountain and the mountain will move. Say to the mountain, move, and don't let anything separate you from that statement. It says that person who doesn't become separated will actualize his statement. Well, if the person who doesn't become separated will actualize his statement, what happens to the person that becomes separated? They won't see it. They won't see it. When anyone's expression in prayer is congruent with his inner being, that means it's equal to his inner being. It's the same as his inner being, as what he believes on the inside in his or her heart. His desire will be actualized. Because of this principle, see, that means this principles work on everything. It said, because of this principle, when you discover your soul's deepest desires, state them in your prayers and consider them to have occurred, they will. That's a principle. The reason it seems that they will not is because we've allowed ourselves to become separated from the words that we've spoken. And once we become separated, or the reason we become separated is because, for whatever reason, we don't believe it. We don't believe it. How many of you believe that if you speak to the mountain and don't become separated, you'll have what you say? Amen. So everybody understands that. Right? Wrong? Right? Amen. Yeah. Then the question is, then what's the problem? If we believe it and we know God's word is true, there has to be a reason. Because I believe there's a reason for everything. See, I thought about, okay, let me look at the connection between speaking and believing and receiving. And no matter how I look at it, that connection is sure. That connection is solid. So it's not that connection. Speaking, believing, receiving works. And I can put a period there. And so that leaves me with only one other possible answer. We're not speaking, or we're not believing when we speak, so we don't receive. There is no other answer because the connection is solid. It's a principle. It has to work. Just like 2 + 2 will always be 4. Always. It has to work. If you don't get 4, you didn't add 2 + 2. You did something else. And it's the same way with our healing. If we're not receiving it, we need to go back and check and make sure that that connection is solid, because when that connection is solid, you will always get the right results. Always. Jesus told us in Matthew 16, and I'm in the Message Bible. This is around verse 17, 18, I guess. Forgive me for not putting the scripture reference down. I was a little excited. But the Bible says that we're a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. And to me, it's indicative, or it's more meaningful when it says not even. Because that means there are going to be a number of things that are going to be trying to get out and get at you. And all of those things, and not even the gates of hell can get out. Not even the gates of hell. The Amplified Bible says, the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower the church, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against us. So that's saying the devil can't have more power than the church. The devil can't do anything to the church's detriment. Cannot. Amen. Jesus said that. Amen. And if Jesus said it, and he said, I only say those things that my Father tells me, then God had to tell him to say it. And the Bible tells us God's not a man that he should lie. So if God say it, it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The New Living Bible says, all the powers of hell will not conquer us. The church. So the question is, are you part of the church? Then these scriptures are talking about you. It's just that simple. Now, God had Jesus give the church, you know, a set of instructions. Mark 16. We call it the Great Commission. I'm going to pick up at verse 17. It says, these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. It says they will accompany. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents. And even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they, the disciples, went out and preached where?
Everywhere.
While the Lord kept working with them, and confirming their message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. So those disciples, the church, had to go out and do something with what they were told. They had to do something with what they were given. And the moment they acted like they believed it, Jesus was right there to confirm it with a sign, with a miracle, with a wonder. He was right there because they believed it. And we have to get to that place. What we don't want to be is like those believers in Matthew 28, starting at verse 16 in the Message Bible. Because this is what gets folks in trouble. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshiped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. One of the reasons we don't receive our healing is because we don't go after it totally. We hold back because we're afraid that the word might not work. I mean, we got to just say it the way it is. You know, so we won't go totally. Even though we know it's God. And I mean, we know it's God. It's not false pride. Too many people leave here prematurely because they get filled up with false pride and say, well, I don't believe I should be able to do this. I know because I was almost one of those people. Thank God for a pastor that has spiritual insight and listens to God. Because Pastor Clinton walked up to me not knowing I decided to stop taking medicine. No one knew it except me and God. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell anybody. I'm a believer, just like Pastor Sarah's a believer. So if she doesn't have to take medicine, I'm not taking any either. And Pastor Clinton walked past me, stopped, like that Abbott and Costello, slowly I turned, you know. And he turned and he put his finger right in my face, almost to my nose. You have high blood pressure and you're not taking your medicine. God told me to tell you if you don't take your medicine, the devil will take you out of here. Out of here. Well, I didn't ask God what to do about it. I heard and I figured, well, if it's good for one, it's good for all. Well, I hadn't developed my faith, and by develop, I mean I didn't know everything faith could do. So I'd hear something, and I'd just do it. You know, I didn't know. I was operating in ignorance, and God knew that. My heart was in the right place, but my brain hadn't caught up with it. And so God had my pastor tell me, take the medicine. Believe God. Listen, folks, if you think taking medicine is a lack of faith, you haven't read the possible side effects. Deacon Phillips, my wife, was telling me about a new procedure for if you are taking blood thinners and you have a bleeding event. There's something they want to insert into your body that regulates the bleeding. Problem is, side effects of it could be stroke or death. Well, I guess either way, the bleeding stops. But there are folks that'll hear about that and run and do it because their faith is in that. Because somebody said it's been tested. And we find that it's effective 68% of the time. What about the other people? 68 people survived. So we don't want to be like those that hold back because they don't want to risk themselves totally. If you really believe, it's not a risk. It's only a risk if you're not sure God'll do it. If you really believe God'll do it, it's a knowing, not a risk. Verse 18, Jesus, undeterred about some of them holding themselves back, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you to go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of this age. And notice, Jesus didn't put any conditions on it. He didn't say the world's going to hit you with a lot of things and, you know, you're free from this charge. He didn't say, you know, I want you to go into the world unless. He said, go. And he not only told you to go, he said, go and do these things. I'll make sure they happen. But you have to go and do them. I mean, let's not forget the woman with the issue of the well, issue of blood, and the centurion. Let's not forget the desire, the courage that they showed. Look at Mark 5. Because things will come up, situations will come up. You know, their only purpose for coming up is to get you to change your mind, to get you to separate yourself from the words that you've spoken. Verse 27 of Mark 5, King James Version. When she, speaking of the woman, had heard of Jesus, she came in the press, that means in the crowd, behind and touched his garment. Now that was critical because the woman had an issue of blood. That means she was bleeding. For 12 years, she had a constant menstrual cycle. And the Levitical law says you don't go out in public. And if you do, you have to say unclean, unclean, unclean. And if they find that you're out there in an unclean state and you're not advertising it, you get stoned to death. She knew that. She knew exactly what she was facing. I guess she figured, I'll either get stoned to death or bleed to death, deather than both of them. I'm going to the one who can give me life. Because it says, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She said it, she believed it, she acted on it, and she wasn't going to let anything separate her from the words she had spoken. She could have approached that street where Jesus was and saw all those people and said, I guess I got to wait till another time because there's no way I'll get through all these people without someone finding out about me. No, it didn't matter. She went through the crowd as if she was the only one there. And there were people bumping into Jesus all through it. When you walk through a press, I mean, it's like trying to walk down. Where did we go? We haven't gone since because I just don't like those kind of crowds. We went to Rockefeller Center with Christmas Tree. You can't walk through without someone bumping into you. You cannot. And the Olympic torch was scheduled to pass by. So you had even more. Children were screaming, I can't breathe, you know, because they're down here and everybody else is up here. You know, folks were trying, because we were headed toward Radio City Music Hall, and folks were screaming, I'm trying to get to the music hall because you couldn't move. Because if you got past one person, there's someone else standing there with the, I ain't moving, I don't care what kind of, you know. And so they had megaphones at Radio City. They were saying, we're going to wait till everyone comes in before we start the show, so just calm down, calm down. I mean, it was a press of people there. So much, I hadn't been back. I don't like being jostled. I don't like that feeling of not being under any sort of control. I didn't like it, so I said, okay, we can go to Radio City on another day. Another time, okay? In Matthew 8, verse 5 to 10, the Passion Translation, when Jesus entered the village of Capernaum, a captain in the Roman army, we know him as a centurion, approached him asking for a miracle. Lord, he said, I have a son who is lying in my home, paralyzed and suffering terribly. Jesus responded, I will go with you and heal him. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority. I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go and he'll go, and another to come and he'll come. I order my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed. This man spoke words. He believed what he spoke, and he wasn't letting anything separate him from those words. It says, Jesus was astonished. I'm like, why was he astonished? Because no, he hadn't encountered anyone who believed like that. Everyone else wanted him to come. He's saying, no, all you need to do is stay right here and speak the word. That's all you need to do. And my son will be healed. Matter of fact, he said, instantly healed. Jesus was astonished when he heard this, and he said to those who were following, he has greater faith than anyone I've encountered in Israel. When I was in the ER the first time with blood clots, you know, they told me I had blood clots. I asked God, what do you want me to do? And what he told me I did. I didn't care who heard it or who understood it, because this was my body. Okay. They weren't the ones whose body was being invaded. Mine was. And I did what God told me to do. And in the morning, not only could they not find any blood clots in my body, they couldn't even find them on the scan that they had looked at the night before. I'm telling you, folks, I wasn't letting anything separate. And the second time, first time one blood clot came. The second time, there were multiple blood clots in both of my lungs. And I had had them in there for at least a month. Probably more, because I didn't attribute the symptoms to blood clots. I attribute them to being fat and overweight and out of shape. So yeah, so I go just like this. I'm like, man, I've never been out of shape like this before. You know. And they said, you have multiple blood clots. And what came out of me was, in this world, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But don't be dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. I said, so doc, you could say, in this world you may have blood clots. Don't get your nose bent out of joint about it. Jesus has already overcome them for me, and he's taken away their power to harm me. I said, so what's your plan? And he looked at me, he said, you believe that? I said, yeah, of course I do. He said, wow, just like that. And didn't send me to intensive care. He said, we have three people in here with blood clots. Two are in intensive care. No, he said, one is in intensive care. I said, well, he must have a lot of clots. He said, no, he only has one. And then I said, why are you telling me this? Because I thought he was telling me I had to go to intensive care. He said, you have multiple blood clots, but you don't need to go to intensive care. I said, that's because Jesus took away their power to harm me. Amen. I mean, that's, and it was just that way. It was just a matter of fact. Thank you. You know, my eyes didn't cross. I didn't, you know, wave my hands, do anything. That's just the way it is. I just believe it. And I wasn't going to become separated, because I asked him, I said, did you say blood clot or did you say blood clots? He said, blood clots. I said, well, how many? He said, multiple. I said, okay. He's like, okay. Well, I just wanted to know. I like to know who I'm fighting. Because, folks, it doesn't matter. What we have to understand is that things have a reputation. Everything has a reputation. May not call it a reputation, but everything has a reputation. I mean, even Kleenex. You know, they'll tell you you can only need one because they're strong. You know, you can hold them. They say, don't buy Brand X because you're going to have to use three of them. You know, I mean, so even Brand X has a reputation of being bad. Well, sickness comes with reputation. And the reason their reputation is built up because it's designed to tear you down spiritually. Because if it can do that, you will step away. You will separate yourself from those words of faith. Because you're going to tell yourself the reputation of this sickness is greater than what you know about God. And you'll back away. And you'll never see the manifestation of your healing because you separated yourself from the words you've spoken. And that, you know, separated yourself seems, it's a fancy way of saying you just let your faith take wings and fly away because of what you heard about the invader. You let that negate what you know about your God. And it always has to be this way, where what you know about God is much stronger than what you know about the invader. And I'm telling you this from personal experience. Stop wasting your time studying the enemy. Amen. Well, I need to know. What we need to know, the Holy Ghost will tell us. Well, how do you know that? Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, he will guide you into all truth. So I don't need to study about any condition. I need to meditate in the Word day and night, building up my spiritual immune system to the symptoms, to the invader. And listening to the Holy Ghost tell me, this is what you need to do about this invader. To me, it's no different. I open my garage door, and sometimes an insect will come in. And I'm benevolent. I'll give it an opportunity to leave. Because outside, in the street, it's an insect. In my house, it's pestilence. Okay? And as long as it's outside, it doesn't have to fear my foot. But if it comes inside and won't take the nudging to go outside, and that's that. I mean, that's that. But you can't get all bent out of shape because it shows up. It shows up. I opened the door, it came in. One thing Deacon Phillips, he doesn't like flies in the house. If a fly comes in, I set traps. One time, I sat on the cabinet. I have a tennis racket. I don't play tennis. But I took a tennis racket and I took cardboard and cut it out and put it in over the netting. And so I just sit there. And the fly comes, it flies by me, I don't move. So I get comfortable. Then it kind of glides by, backhand. And I go and get a napkin, pick it up, throw it in the trash. But I'm not going to run out of my, I'm going to run out of my house because an invader shows up? Out of my house? No. That's the way you need to feel about your body. Sickness is going to come, and it's going to cause you to separate yourself from who you are in Christ? I don't think so. But there's a certain moxie that we have to have. See, I've been accused of being cocky sometimes. and I'm guilty. I've been accused of being arrogant. I'm guilty. I'll have a problem with it. Because it's not towards other people. It's toward the devil. Amen. And the stuff that he brings. Amen. And I'm not sorry for the truth that I'm above what he has. Amen. Period. I mean, I'm not sorry about that. Amen. And so we need to understand. We need to understand that about ourselves. We're superior because we've been given authority over all the power he has. Amen. That includes sickness. So really, we decide when we're going to feel good and when we're not. If we, once we get to the place where we really understand authority, we'll decide. And I don't know anyone who's going to decide to be sick. Okay. But if we lack authority, that's not what I wanted to say. Get back to my notes. This never happens when I use paper. Yeah, I may, next time you see me, I may have my paper notes because I'm getting, well, I'm not going to confess that. Okay, the issue is this. We keep changing our minds about staying committed to the words that we speak. We keep changing our minds. And we have to get it settled. We have to get it steady. We have to stay focused. And so the question is, do we have the guts to do it? Or do we have the nerve to do it? Or the word that I like to use is, do we have the audacity to be healed and whole in Jesus' name? I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, if we lack the audacity to act on the word, we will find ourselves separated from what we confessed, or as the scripture says, the statement that we've made. And I looked up the word audacity. I came across it. I was reading in Old Horizons, and it was an entry, do you have the audacity? I think about 4 years ago, I may have taught a lesson on it. But I was thinking about that, you know, as I was thinking about this class and about, you know, how sickness comes and what's it going to take for it to leave. It needs to know that we know who we are, that we know what we're talking about, and we know how to use our weapons. But we need audacity to speak, believe, and receive our healing, because they're going to come some, be some strong witnesses for sickness and disease are going to be brought before you. They're going to come. They had evidence. They showed me the CAT scan and point them out. Oh, look, these things look like little dots. I said, what are those? Those are the blood clots. They show them. They're there. They'll show you scans. You'll feel the symptoms. They're real. But just because they're real doesn't mean you don't have authority. Amen. But you need to understand you're going to be presented with some hard evidence that you're sick or sickly, or that, you know, your days are numbered and the number doesn't go past 30. You know, you're going to be presented with some, you're going to be presented with these things, and you're going to have the audacity to speak to it and believe anyway. Amen. You're going to have to develop it because that's what it's going to take. Nobody will know you're the baddest thing in town if you never act like it. No, if you never do anything, no one will know. That's why the demon was able to beat up the seven sons of Sceva. He said, who are you? They didn't know. He said, we know Jesus, and we're familiar with Paul. Paul's developing a reputation, but what about you? And it says one demon beat the clothes off of seven men. One. Okay. But audacity is just boldness or daring, especially with confident or arrogant disregard. And you hear words like arrogant, and you think that's a bad thing. No, it's only a bad thing when it's used incorrectly. But arrogance is a good thing. Arrogant disregard for personal safety, conventional thought, or other restrictions. Look at Daniel 3. I know I always go here. I love this account. I love reading about it. Especially when people start talking about our teenagers. I tell them, I need to read this account because these three teenagers were the only people in the entire kingdom that dared to believe God. Okay. Daniel 3, this is a Message Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "Your threat means nothing to us." I mean, we're talking about audacity here. "If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. But even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a bit of difference, O king. We still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." They demonstrated arrogant disregard for their personal safety. They knew about the furnace. They knew what the king did. They knew Nebuchadnezzar's reputation. It meant nothing to them when they stood it side by side with their God. And that's what we have to learn to do when you get these diagnoses and things. You stack it up and you see it doesn't come close to matching your God. Doesn't come close. And something needs, an arrogance needs to develop in you. I'm going to believe God. This thing is not taking me out. Period. When I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, when your doctor calls, you say hello, and his first words is, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Hello, is this Dr. Barr? I'm so sorry. I've forgotten that I had a biopsy." I'm like, "What happened?" He said, "Your biopsy." I said, "What about it?" "It's negative. It's positive." I'm like, "Okay." He said, "No, that means you have prostate cancer." I said, "Okay, what's the plan?" "I'm so sorry." That was 14 years ago. Okay. I'm still here. And it's not. Okay. But those three Hebrew boys demonstrated arrogant disregard for their own personal safety, for conventional thought, or any other restrictions. They just flat out didn't care because they had a word from God. And they were going to stick with that. Now, mind you, like I said earlier, these were teenagers. And every other person in the kingdom was deathly afraid of this king, but not these three teenagers. They had the audacity to believe God and not even their high priests. Because when king played his music, everyone was bowing down, except these three young men. Okay? Furnace in their face. The Bible says that the king took his most mighty men to tie them up. And the Bible doesn't talk about any of the three wavering. They didn't have a disagreement. "Well, look, you know, well, let's just bow a little bit. We'll tell the king, we'll go halfway with you. Because after all, if we're killed, then we can't serve God at all." You know, the enemy will try and get you to rationalize. But you're still stepping away from the word that you spoke. You're still stepping away from your faith in God's word and believing that the lie is stronger than the word. And it's not. They had no regard for the king's reputation. I keep getting a mental image when they defy the king. I could just see the faces on the crowd. I could just hear, they say something, the crowd's like, they weren't moved by that. Look at Mark 2. This is another one where just the audacity of these men. Starting with verse 2 in Mark 2, Passion Translation. Several days later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and the news quickly spread that he was back in town. Soon there were so many people crowded inside the house to hear him that there was no more room even outside the door. While Jesus was preaching the word of God. Boy, you let somebody try and do that when they're preaching the word of God here, the host will usher them right out. Okay. While Jesus was preaching the word of God, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man. But when they realized that they couldn't even get near him because of the crowd, they went up to the top of the house and tore away the roof above Jesus' head. A house you don't own. You weren't even invited. And you climb up on the roof above the guest speaker and tear a hole through it. They were not backing down. That meant, no, we're going there. I'm getting healed tonight. Okay. And he wasn't going, just because there was more people than they expected, he wasn't backing away from it. It wasn't, well, maybe I'll hang out here and, you know, maybe when they leave, you know, they'll let me come in. No. No, they act like that song from our youth, Tear the Roof Off. Going to tear the roof off. All right. And they tore the roof off and then lowered him down. Now, I can't imagine, I'm ministering. First, I hear the roof being torn off, but I continue ministering. Then all of a sudden, I see something coming down in front of me. The people they could have taken this man and said, move him back out and said, you know, the soldiers will come and see you about the hole you just put in my roof. Okay. And if you don't fix it, then I'll see you on Judge Judy. But you don't fix my roof. When Jesus saw the extent of their faith, when he saw just what faith they were willing to do because they had faith, he said to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are now forgiven. Jesus had audacity also. It says, this offended some of the religious scholars who were present. And they reasoned among themselves, who does he think he is to speak this way? This is blasphemy for sure. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus supernaturally perceived their thoughts and said to them, why are you being so skeptical? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are now forgiven, or stand up and walk? But to convince you that the Son of Man has been given authority to forgive sins, I say to this man, stand up, pick up your stretcher, and walk home. Immediately, the man sprang to his feet in front of everyone and left the house. Because he had the audacity to have the roof torn off and have him lowered down. Because he fully believed that if he got to Jesus, he would be healed. And he wasn't going to let anything or anyone or any crowd of people stop him. Just like the woman that had the issue of blood. Audacity is shameless boldness. When one has audacity, they are extremely bold or daring, and they're recklessly brave and fearless. They're unrestrained. That means they cannot be stopped. Nothing can stop them, hold them down, hold them back. Look at Mark 10. Passion Translation, starting with verse 46. When Jesus and his disciples had passed through Jericho, a large crowd joined them. Upon leaving the village, they met a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road named Timaeus. King James says Bartimaeus, or Bartimaeus. Father's name was Timaeus. When he heard that Jesus from Nazareth was passing by, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me now in my affliction. Heal me." Those in the crowd were indignant and scolded him for making such a disturbance. But he kept shouting with all his might, "Son of David, have mercy on me now and heal me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him to come to me." So he went to the blind man and said, "Have courage." He already had shown he had courage. "Get up, Jesus is calling for you." So he threw off his beggar's cloak. He was so sure that he was coming back healed, he didn't need the beggar's cloak anymore. Because when I'm healed, I don't have to beg anymore. I can now work for a living. Okay? He jumped up and made his way to Jesus. Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, that's critical, because it seems if someone come, you know, "What do you want me to do?" "Oh, I'd like to dance." No, he's like, "I want to see, I'm blind." Okay. Man said, "Master, please let me see again." Jesus responded, "Your faith heals you. Go in peace with your sight restored." All at once, the man's eyes opened and he could see again. And he began at once to follow Jesus, walking down the road with him. Now, where would they be if they didn't have the audacity to act on what they believed? Crowds of people trying to stop them. But they just had this, no, we sing the song, but we don't do the act. We say, "Jesus is mine. Everywhere I go." No. Jesus is coming by. I got my healing. Amen. Right now. Yes. Jesus, heal me now. He said, now. But be quiet. We don't want to disturb him. If you keep shouting, he's going to leave and we won't get to see him. Scream even louder. Okay. The totally in absolute defiance, absolute arrogance. He said, "No, I need to go after this right now, right here. And I don't care what any of y'all say, I'm going after it." And that's the attitude that we need to develop. And we need to develop it quickly, because they would have still been blind. He would have still been blind if he didn't have the audacity to act. You can't be tolerant, folks. Amen. We're too tolerant. It's true. Amen. Modern day medicine has made us too comfortable. Amen. It has, and I have nothing against medicine except that it makes us too comfortable. It's like I have nothing against television, it just makes us lazy. Remote controls make us lazy. I mean, you're sitting down, the TV is three steps away. You're sitting down. The remote is one step away. You call your son or your grandson, "Give me the remote." You get the remote. "Here, go put it back over there for me." Then when you get finished, bring me another bag of chips. No. We have to have the audacity to get up and take what we know is ours, and we don't care what anyone has to say about it. Amen. Amen. See, one of the reasons The Bible says, you know, don't be drunk with wine where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Because God knows that you're going to be obedient to whatever Spirit fills you. And see, a drunk person has audacity. A person that's drunk, they don't care what they say, where they say it, or how they say it. They don't care what they do. You can drive up a brand new car, I'm not trying to be gross, but if they need to use the restroom and there's none around, get ready to take your car to a wash. Okay. And saying that's disgusting. They don't care because they're being obedient to the Spirit that filled them. That's why Jesus didn't send them the disciples. He told them, wait until you're endued with power from on high. Why? Then you'll have the audacity to do what I tell you to do. Because you'll be filled with my Spirit, and you'll be obedient to that Spirit that has filled you. See, that's the problem is, we probably don't spend enough time filling our Spirit, filling ourselves with His Spirit. So it's like, you know, sometimes on really cloudy days, you get static on your cell phone, like signals drop out. Well, that's spiritually, that's what happens to us. We don't take the time and spend quality time getting strong signals. We wind up with weak signals, and at critical points, it kind of fades out, where we don't seem to hear clearly. We don't know what to do, so we start stepping back away from what we said because now we're not sure anymore. And it's like, God, I know your word says you'll never leave me or forsake me, but it feels like you're not here anymore. Maybe I better wait. Or maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm not supposed to. Oh, I'll just take the medicine. That's all. I'll just take. No, you need to stay steady and find out from God just what you're supposed to do. See, when you have the audacity to act, you act. Period. And you don't care what anyone else has to say about it. That's me. I didn't think I was going to have. I thought I didn't have enough. But we got a whole nother lesson because I only had page three. Okay, where do we want to finish? In Acts 4, we'll finish there. Because I told you, sickness is going to come with a presentation that's going to rival Broadway. It's going to make things seem so real, so deadly, that wants you to panic and step away from all the confessions and things that you've been making and believing. But in Acts 4, this is after Peter and John were severely beaten and threatened because of the healed the blind man, not the blind man, the lame man outside the gate beautiful. And when they let them go, they went back to their folks and they told them everything that happened. And everybody immediately started praying. And they ended their prayer starting in verse 29 by saying, "And now, Lord, because of everything that's happened up to this point, observe their threats. Grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly, while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. They were like, Lord, because of what they said, Give us the audacity to speak your word even more than we've been speaking it. And we want signs, we want to stretch out our hands, and we want signs and wonders to occur in the name of Jesus. That's what, that was their prayer. And the Bible says the place was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. They had the audacity to continue to speak. Now, mind, they had been beaten. And when they were beaten, it wasn't, you know, get a belt, lay across my lap, don't do that. No, they took off their shirts, and they got a scourge, leather straps with rocks and glass, and 39 across the back. 39. A lot of people didn't survive. And they knew it and wouldn't back away from what they, from what they did. Would not become separated from the name of Jesus. And neither can we, folks. Amen. Because when you think about it, our actions will always prove who we really are. Amen. Either we're going to be audacious or we're going to be passive. We need to understand that, because the world's not going to understand it. The world's not going to want us to even do it. But we have to stop being sheepish. We have to stop, well, God knows I'm shy. I haven't found that anywhere. Amen. Amen. Didn't say we spoke the word with shyness. Say you speak the word with boldness. Maybe we should just act like we have the audacity to be Christians and just act like we're Christians. So when we display that boldness or that daring, sickness has to leave. It can't stay. Your body has to respond to the word of God. Your body was made to respond to the word of God. All of creation was made to respond to the word of God. So we need to know, we need to understand that, and we need to act like that. We believe, because we have the audacity to speak God's word concerning our health and healing, because we have the audacity to believe the word of God that we spoke, we'll receive the health and healing that God promised. But you have to have the audacity, folks, to do it no matter who likes it, doesn't like it, no matter what comes. Yeah. And I'm 4 minutes over and just getting warm. But we'll pick up with part two of this next time I'm with you. Amen.